Yeah, praise God. It's about Jesus tonight, isn't it? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel Him here. I really, really do. And I'm excited about this journey to heaven. Praise God. Sing the old song, it gets sweeter as the days go by. You ever heard that one? Gets richer as the moments fly. Hallelujah. Amen. And certainly it does. Serving God every day is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. I wouldn't want to trade it for nothing in this world, for no worldly experience, for no fleshly fulfillment. It all comes down to knowing Christ Jesus. Glory to God. It comes down to knowing Christ Jesus. Praise God. And I felt Him here tonight. Everything that God has done has been completely in order. I believe we need times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. That's what the book of Acts told us. And I'm just thrilled tonight about what God is doing. Amen. I do have a thought on my heart, but I do want to follow the Lord as well. Amen. I felt the Spirit of God here last night in a great way. And then tonight, the Lord just, following things up and moving the way that He's moving. We've got to have these kinds of moves of the Spirit of God. How many know that? Hallelujah. We've got to have these kinds of moves, spontaneous. Amen. Moves that are driven out of spontaneity and the Spirit of the Lord comes in. Hallelujah. Somebody said that revival, and it may have been Mr. Ravenhill or somebody he quoted, said revival is when the Spirit of God inrushes into a corpse that is threatening to become, or into a body that's threatening to become a corpse. When an inrush of the Spirit of God comes in to a body that is threatening to become a corpse. Just in the nick of time. Amen. Praise God. So I feel that tonight here in this house. Thrilled about what the Lord is doing. We're so glad for you being here. So glad. I mean it. I love Pastor Lamb with all of my heart. I mean that. One of the truest friends I have. Praise God. And you develop relationships with folks to where, which I probably should have kept contact with him more through the time that we spent there in East Tennessee. But our relationship's so good that even when I hadn't talked to him in 2 or 3 months, I can pick right up where it left off and never miss a beat in talking. Now, other people, it ain't like that, you know, because you don't know if they've turned on you, you know, in between those 3 months. But with him, I knew he hadn't. Praise God. And we love the folks here at God's Miracle Mission. What a mighty thing God has done. Hadn't He done a great thing? Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a great thing the Lord has done. We're glad for you being here. So glad for those from Center Hill, Pastor J.R. Smith's church there. And I'm just thrilled for them being here tonight in the house of God with us. And we'll be starting a revival with them, I think, the 11th of November. And Brother Smith, man, we're looking forward to that. We love them over there as well. And praise God. So we're looking forward to what God has in store. So glad for Nisi being back with us in the house of God tonight. Amen. Felt the Lord helping her last night. And I'm thrilled. These brothers have got me. I called Brother Lamb today. They were out there down at the University of South Florida. Amen. The South Florida Bulls, I think. Pray y'all didn't get stampeded, did you? Went and chased down. Praise. Amen. And glory to God. And I identify with what he was saying. We done that up there at East Tennessee State University. I talked to probably 5 folks that I really enjoyed talking to on the campus. That had, you know, that you could talk to. The rest were just ignorant. I mean, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Just out there, crazy. You couldn't even talk to them. But I run into about 4 or 5 that held an intelligent, really, you know, thinking conversation. And people, well, God will save ignorant people. You know that? Praise God. Amen. You know He'll save ignorant people, don't you? I better leave that alone, hadn't I? Amen. Woo! Praise God. Amen. Amen. He saved me and saved the pastor. And you know, the apostle went on to say later on, he said, of spiritual gifts, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. A lot of ignorant about spiritual, a lot are ignorant about the spiritual gifts. Praise God. That's why we need the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God to go forth. We're just glad for what God is doing. I do I know I have something here, and I just want to be real brief as possible as I can. But I want you to go to the book of Exodus, chapter 24. I'm a kind of preacher, and I usually don't preach long, but on the same token, I'm not a real good textual preacher, if I can say that. I mean, when I deal with something, I usually deal with it fairly thoroughly, but tonight I'm going to try to balance that out the best I can, and I do feel like saying something to you here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many will give me at least 30 minutes to talk to you? I know I've been hitting an hour, so we're going to try. We're not going to go double or nothing tonight. We're going to try to keep it down. Praise God. A little bit here. Amen. The book of Exodus, chapter number 24. Brother Razor just got us fired up, and he was bouncing around some of my same thoughts that I was having myself. And so we want the Lord to help us tonight. The book of Exodus, chapter number 24, verse number 1. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice, and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. But watch the reaction of Moses. And Moses took the blood, verse 8, and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all of these words. Exodus 25, verse number 8. God speaking to Moses, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I shew thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half, shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it, and thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, and the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. And thou, notice, and thou, verse 16, shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. And thou shalt make a, verse 17, mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold of beaten work, shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make 1 cherub on the one end and 1 cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof, and the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat. Catch that. Their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be, and thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, in between the 2 cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I give in commandment unto the children of Israel. One more place. Now listen, praise God. If you hadn't read your Bible today, I'm just trying to help you out. That's all I'm doing. Woo! I would ask who's read their Bible. I remember I was in Free Gospel there, Brother Savage come and preached, and every night he read almost a chapter or two. And every night he kept saying, for you the students that didn't read your Bible today, praise God. So hallelujah. Hebrews chapter number 9. We can't leave it hanging out like that. Hebrews chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was a candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold. Now catch this. We've just read about this here in Exodus chapter 24 and chapter 25. And the ark of the covenant round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to that conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. And I do think there's something to that, until the time of reformation. But Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but of his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Upon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Verse 19, I want you to notice, we just read this. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For them must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Would you lift your hands towards heaven? Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for these good people, Lord, and for their endurance and perseverance, God. I ask that you would touch and that you would help. God, I know that time is against me, but Lord, just open up the hearts of these people for just a few moments and let me talk to them. You've already worked in such a great way, God. Just let the seed of the Word of God be imparted. The field has been broken up, God. Now let your Word just take hold in the hearts of the individuals. I thank you for the pastor and his family. I thank you for God's miracle mission. And I thank you for every visitor. Lord, have your mighty way in the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. We read to you here about the acts of Moses and about the construction of the Ark of the Covenant here in Exodus chapter number 25. And what Moses did with the sprinkling of the blood. And then, of course, we read in Hebrews here, chapter number 9, the interpretation of what was happening. And you may not catch all of that when you're just reading through the Word of God. But I want to talk to you tonight for just a few moments on the blood will cover the broken law. The blood will cover the broken law. Praise the Lord. Now, I like to preach about the tabernacle, and Brother Razor tonight referred some to Christ in the Old Testament. But I want to tell you a little bit more. We preached some Friday night around these lines, and I want to talk to you just a little more here tonight. I want us to understand in all sincerity and with your mind open that the only building that has ever been constructed upon this earth, which was perfect from its very beginning and outset in every detail, and never again needed any attention or addition or alteration, was the tabernacle of Moses that was built in the wilderness. The blueprint, the pattern, and the plan, along with the design and all of its specifications, were minutely made in heaven and then committed unto Moses for the children of Israel while he was in the mountain shortly after their deliverance from the Egyptian bondage. Now understand that every single detail was designed by God Almighty. Every part of the tabernacle of Moses had a prophetic, redemptive, and typical significance. There is no portion of Scripture, you hear me well, richer in meaning, more perfect in its teaching of the plan of redemption than this divinely designed structure or edifice known as the tabernacle. God Himself was the architect, and every detail points to some aspect of character and work of the person Jesus Christ, His Son. In its complete form, the tabernacle is probably the most comprehensive, detailed revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that we have in the entire Old Testament. The tabernacle of Moses, according to Hebrews 8 and 5, is the example and shadow of heavenly things. And then according to Hebrews 9 and 23, it is the patterns of things that are in the heavens. And then again, the proclamation is made in Hebrews 10 and 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. Someone studied and made a statement that the tabernacle is a prophecy that is contained in linens and silver and of gold. For when you look at the tabernacle proper, every part of it prophesies and portrays Jesus Christ, down to the exquisite work that were upon the high priest's garments, down to the garments of the Levitical priesthood and the ones that helped the priest out, the Levites. Everything there points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. The record and the pattern of the tabernacle is found in Exodus chapter number 25 through chapter number 31. Its actual construction is recorded in Exodus 35 through Exodus chapter number 40. The instructions for the building of the tabernacle is preceded, came before. What came before the instructions of the tabernacle was God giving His law unto the children of Israel through Moses, His acting mediator. Before God ever gave the detailed blueprint, the schematics of the tabernacle and its construction, He gave the law unto Moses. The building of the tabernacle was also preceded by a repetition of the story of the giving of the law and the sad, sad record of the nation Israel and her miserable failure in the worship of the golden calf. Now listen to me. I want you, amen. I'm not here tonight to thrill you. Amen. I'm here tonight to put something in you if the Lord will help me to break the Word of God down. Before, I want you to catch this. Before Moses ever brought the two tables of the law down off of Mount Sinai, Israel had already broken them. Have you ever thought about that? Before God ever said you should have no other gods before me, they're down at the foot of the mountain. They broke the law before they ever had the law. Hallelujah. The lostness of man's condition. My God. Listen, Israel had already broken the law, and the judgment of God was already hovering over them. Notice, therefore, carefully the order of this story in Exodus chapters 19 to 40. In Exodus chapter 19 through 24, we have a detailed account of the commandment, the statutes, the precepts, and the laws which God gave unto the nation of Israel through His prophet Moses. The purpose of these laws were to show the nation Israel their inability to keep God's commandments or to be saved by their own self-righteousness. But poor, blinded Israel, in their depraved condition, deceived by sin, in their self-righteousness, supposed that they could keep the law perfectly. And so in Exodus chapter 24, which we read in verse number 3, the Bible said, "And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all of the judgments of the Lord. And all the people answered with one voice," catch this, "and said, all the words which the Lord hath said, Moses, will we do." Oh, now don't miss the significance of what Israel is saying. Don't miss that. They are standing before God's holy and minute detailed word. They're standing before the law and they tell Moses, "We can keep that law. All the words which the Lord has said, we'll do it." Praise God. Oh, listen, how little Israel really understood their own hearts and their own inability to keep that law that Moses brought unto them. But thank God for Moses. He recognized how blind they were. And so immediately after this foolish declaration that Israel made to be saved by their own works, "We can keep the law, Moses." And amen. And by perfect obedience to God's perfect commandments, Moses is quick to offer an atonement right from the very beginning. They say, "We can keep that law." Moses knows they've already failed. And the Bible said in Exodus 24 and 4, "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill." Realizing that the nation Israel could not be saved by keeping the law, but only by the blood of a sacrifice, he builds an altar and immediately the record continues. And the Bible says, and he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood. Now blood's being brought in now. And he put it in the basins. And half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And the other half he took. And he took the book of the covenant. And he read it in the audience of the people. Amen. Notice, I want you to see here what is going on with the nation of Israel. Amen. They are here standing before the holy law. They can't keep the holy law. Moses knows that. So he takes the blood that's in the basin. He sprinkles it on the book. And then he sprinkles it once again upon the nation of Israel to show them that they cannot be saved by their own works. Oh, listen to me. Amen. They're saying we can keep the law, Moses. We can keep everything. You don't have to sacrifice nothing. But Moses knows better. And so he brings the blood of the sacrifices. He sprinkles them up on the word of God that he wrote down. And then he sprinkles blood on the people, showing that they're going to need blood and that they're going to need mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel like talking to you here tonight. Listen. Amen. Listen to me. If Israel had been able to keep God's law to perfection, they would not have needed a sacrifice. They would not have needed a substitution. They would not have needed blood. But they missed the lesson entirely. And so Moses read the law of God to them again, and with the same result, for they say, all that the Lord has said, twice they say, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. Oh, but listen. Listen to what Moses does. Amen. He took that blood and sprinkled it upon the people. And he says, behold the blood of the covenant. Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning these words. Israel's foolish promise was, all that the Lord has said, we will do. But God's response to such a foolish promise was, behold the blood. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Israel said, we can keep that. That's a foolish thing, they said. The response of God through Moses was, behold the blood. Oh, hallelujah. What Israel needed was grace. You hear me? What Israel needed was grace. Amen. They needed mercy. Not their own self-righteous ways. They needed not their own self-righteous achievements. They needed the mercy of an eternal God exemplified through the death of a sacrifice and the shedding of blood. Hallelujah. I feel like talking to you here. Amen. Listen. In Exodus 25, Moses receives from God two things while he's up on the mountain. He receives the Ten Commandments, the law, and then the pattern for the tabernacle. Listen, he receives the law first because the law shows the awfulness of sin and man's desperate failure. Then he receives the pattern for the tabernacle because the tabernacle shows God's way out for the guilty ones who had broken the holy law of God. God gave first the law, which speaks of His justice. Oh yes, the law speaks of His holiness. The law speaks of His righteousness. The law speaks of His purity. The law shows us the awfulness of sin and the depravity of mankind. But then God gave him the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The law is what's going to show. Look, Romans 7:7 said, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You don't even know really you're a sinner until the law shows you that you're a rank hell-bound sinner. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel like talking to you. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I come to throw out meat and potatoes tonight. Praise God. They used to tell me I'd put hair on your chest if you ate meat and potatoes. Praise God. So spiritually tonight, hallelujah. The law brings the knowledge of sin. Listen to me. Had God given no more to Moses, if God had only given him the law, Brother Razor, then Israel would have surely perished because there was no way of escape. That's like giving you a speeding ticket and not showing you a way to pay it. Amen. They would have died because that's all they had was the law. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. Thou shalt not do the other. Thou shalt not walk a mile on the Sabbath. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. But oh, he didn't just give them a law that had all kinds of ordinances, but he gave them a tabernacle that said, oh, hallelujah, the Lord foreknew Israel's failure. He foresaw their need of blood. He knew they could not keep the holy law of God. And so in addition, the tabernacle spoke of mercy. It spoke of pardon. It spoke of forgiveness. It spoke of an atonement. It spoke of redemption. It spoke of salvation. Oh, hallelujah. In Exodus 25 and 8, after he gave the law to Moses, God said, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Oh, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And then the Bible said all the way over in the Gospel of John 1 and 14, and the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. I feel like talking to you. Amen. I've only got 5 minutes by my regular time schedule, but if you'll give me 10, I mean all I need is 10 minutes, and I'm going to preach this, and I'm going to get out of your way. But I do want to tell you this right now. Hallelujah. I mentioned Friday night that when Israel started building the tabernacle, it took them 9 months through the anointed work of Aholiab and Bezalel. God anointed 2 men to build and fabricate everything in that tabernacle. Every golden vessel, every golden piece of furniture, everything was constructed through 2 men anointed by the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me that God won't anoint you to work. Amen. Just let me throw that in passing. They constructed everything. But do you know how long it took them? 9 months. But then here in John 1 and 14, the Bible said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Now let me throw something out at you. Amen. I may be going overboard here tonight. I don't know. Let me throw something out at you. Jesus Christ did not get His blood through Mary. How many knows that? His blood come through God the Father. The bloodline is always determined by the masculinity of the man. Amen. That's why back in the old days, kings had several wives killed because they would not produce a son. The whole problem was the king, not the woman. The bloodline comes through the male lineage. If the blood of Jesus had come through Mary, then the whole human race, Christ would have been born as a sinner. But Mary, listen now, Mary gave Him His flesh. Oh, that's right, that's right. But the Father gave Him His blood. Hallelujah to God. His blood is holy. His blood is pure. His blood is rare. I feel like preaching a little bit here. Hallelujah. The devil hates good doctrinal preaching about the blood of Christ. All hell trembles when you talk about the blood of Christ, because through that blood, healing comes. You know why we could shout tonight? Because of holy blood from our holy Lamb slain. Oh, glory to God. I feel like talking to you. Yeah. Hey, listen, it took them 9 months to build that tabernacle. Amen. Do you know that the word dwelt in John 1:14 literally in the Greek means tabernacled? Hey, Jesus is our tabernacle. I don't come, amen, with the blood of a bull. I don't come with the blood of a goat.
I don't come with the blood and the ashes of a red heifer, but I come in the name of Him. Listen, hey, praise God. It took the tabernacle 9 months to be built, and it took Jesus Christ 9 months to be born. Brother, I tell you right now, hey, He's the Son of God. His blood has power over all the power of the enemy. Hey, Lord, hallelujah. Let me preach to you now here for just a few moments. I'm not going to go through all of this. You're too tired. Amen. Oh, yes, you are. And I don't want to wear you out. So I want to get right to the cut to the chase and come and tell you what I wanted to tell you. Hey, praise God. Hallelujah. In the tabernacle of Moses, behind the second veil, Pastor Lamb, was where the Ark of the Covenant sat. The Ark of the Covenant was where the Shekinah glory of the Holy Trinity dwelt. It dwelt right over top, in between the wings of the cherubim. And do you know what was in that ark? Now listen to me. Three things. Aaron's budding rod, a golden pot of manna, and what else? The law that God gave unto Moses upon the mountaintop. The law that God gave to him when he was on Mount Sinai. So do you know what God did? He instructed Moses or Aaron to take that law and to place it inside of the ark. I want to preach to you. The ark contained the law. Just set it in there however you can get it. Amen. And then here you have a golden mercy seat. This ain't gold, of course. And on one side of it sat a cherubim. And on the other side, a cherubim. And their wings were spread. And they were looking down at the mercy seat. Hey, let me tell you something. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something now. That mercy seat was a beaten work. Do you know what that means? Just like the golden candlestick. It was a beaten work. Aholiab did not chisel it. It was made out of one lump sum of gold. And Aholiab beat that one piece of gold into a mercy seat with cherubims. You say that's impossible. No chiseling, no engraving, a complete beaten work. I don't know what you say tonight, but I'm going to tell you right now, I know who the mercy seat is. His name, oh come on now. Hey Lord, Lord. Let me preach a little bit here to you. Oh God. Hey Lord. Romans 3 said, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God, watch this, whom God set forth. That's what it said. Whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Do you know that God set forth Jesus to be a propitiation? That's in Romans 3, 24 through 25. Do you know what the Greek word propitiation means? It means mercy seat. Hallelujah. A mercy seat was beaten in the place. Brother, I don't know what you think they done on Calvary, but it wasn't no carnival. Brother, they beat Him. Hallelujah. They hit Him. They put nails through Him. But all they were doing, they were making a mercy seat. Hallelujah. They were making a mercy seat. Oh my, I've come to tell you that there's a blood, there's a power, there's a gospel that can pull the right sinners out of the portals of a doomed hell and save their soul from a lost eternity. Hallelujah. Woo! Now catch it. Catch it. Catch what I'm telling you. The law set up under what? The mercy seat. Huh? What set up under the mercy seat? The what? The law? You mean the law that Israel broke? The law that Israel transgressed? The law that Israel could not keep? It set up under the mercy seat? Is that what it said? Hallelujah. Ah, oh, Lord. Oh, let me tell you right now. Hallelujah. Not only was the mercy seat on top of that law, but the Bible said that once a year, the high priest, hallelujah, went in to the Holy of Holies with a basin of blood. He marched in to the Holy of Holies. He went through the first veil. He passed the golden candlestick. He passed the table of showbread. He filled his censer full of coals from off of the altar. And then he slipped through the presence of the second veil with blood in his hand. I'm preaching on the blood will cover the broken law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that he took that blood. Amen. And he would take the blood and he would stand before the Shekinah presence of a holy and a righteous and a pure God. And he would take his hand and he would sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat 7 times. Amen. 7 times. Hallelujah. 7 times, brother. The blood went upon the mercy seat. Hey, and do you know what happened? When God looked down from heaven, he didn't see a broken law. He seen a mercy seat with blood covering a law that had been broken. I tell you, brother, we all should be in hell. But the blood, I said the blood, the blood, the blood, it covers the broken commandments. It covers the law, the blood of a holy, spotless, sinless Lamb.
Glory to God.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Praise God. And when sinners walk around and want me to, they're foolish. Because when God looks down, you know what he sees? He sees a mercy seat with no blood on it.
Woo!
But I'm glad that one day I found Christ and the law I'd broken. Hey, Lord. Hey, are y'all here tonight? Can I have 5 minutes more? I come to tell you, the blood covered. Hey, Lord, propitiation, mercy seat, glory. Everything I've done that you don't know about, the blood covered. Hey, God, it don't matter what I've done, who I did it with, why I did it, why I took it, the blood covered, the broken law. Hey, glory. Listen, hallelujah. On one account, the nation of Israel had lost the Ark of the Covenant. I'm getting ready to close. Listen to the Philistines. You remember what the Philistines done? They took it to the house of Dagon. They come in the next morning. Dagon was on his face. Don Rich said two gods can't dwell in one house. They set him back up though. They thought they'd work it out, you know. Next time they come in, his head, I think, and arms were missing. So they said, enough of this Ark of the Covenant. The Bible said they took it. Now you listen to me. And they dropped it back in the coasts of Beth Shemesh. And listen to me. The Bible said that the children of Israel went and got that, brother. Now watch. Praise God. I want you to watch. Probably because of curiosity more than rebellion, they were never to lift the mercy seat off of that ark. But they took the mercy seat off of the ark, more than likely lean it up there, just lean it up, to make sure that the articles were still in there. The pot of manna, the budding rod, and the law. But when they looked on that law with no mercy seat, the Bible said God smote close to 50,000 men that day because they beheld a law with no blood on it.
Woo, glory to God. And I come to tell you right now that I don't want to take the mercy seat and the blood off of my heart. Because when God looks down, I'm saved by the grace of a holy God through the blood that flowed down Mount Calvary. It covered every sin. It covered everything that I had done. It's the blood of a spotless lamb. And brother, can I tell you, I don't go. When he died on Calvary, strange things begin to happen. The elements begin to act up. The Bible said that there was darkness. Somebody said, you old crazy preacher, that was a nothing but an eclipse. But brother, Passover was at the time of full moon, and it's scientifically impossible for an eclipse to happen at full moon. It wasn't an eclipse. It was God the Father turning his face, and all of a sudden the earth began to shake. And you ain't hear me. And the temple began to shake. And that veil that was a hand breadth thick, it ripped from top to bottom. And man looked into the holy of holies. I tell you, the blood, behold, the blood, it'll cover the broken law. Hallelujah, stand to your feet. Lift your hand across this house. My God. Woo! He kayatananaya. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Amen. Folks that are lost in sin are foolish. They're walking around with no mercy seat and no blood. And when God sees them, he sees a broken law. But when he looks at the ones that are saved, he sees a mercy seat and he sees blood on it. Woo! I'm glad for the blood. Aren't you, God Almighty? Blood, blood, the blood will cover the broken law. You say you don't know how bad I've been. Don't matter. You don't know what. Don't really matter. All that matters is that God sets forth the propitiation upon your heart and the blood is applied. Hallelujah. Woo! They used to sing that old song, His blood is on my soul. Remember that one? His blood is on my soul. Woo! Glory. I said His blood is on my soul. But you don't understand, Brother Matney, I'm closing. But I'm telling you, the blood will cover the broken law. It don't matter what it's been. Amen. The rankest, I gotta close. But the rankest students out there, I'm so glad with Armstrong. You're revealing the broken law to them. And when they see that, they're exposed before God. Hey, but now, after that's revealed to them, I wish they'd fall down in that dorm room and say, put the blood on the broken law. Ah, glory. The blood. Hallelujah. Hey, praise God. I was lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah. Because of the blood. Because of the blood. Because of the blood of the spotless lamb slain on Calvary. Hallelujah. I feel, I'm closing, somebody right now. Amen. I wouldn't have preached it, but if I knew Pastor Lamb, I put so much in the thing, I get carried away. I said, God, I'll be here an hour and a half. I've tried to give you a 40-minute short version. I'm 10 minutes over 30. I apologize. But I feel somebody needs to step out right now and recognize that the blood of Christ will cover the broken law. Woo. Glory. And I love the law. Now, don't you misunderstand me. The Bible said, and it says in Corinthians, that it was glorious. Huh? The law had some glory to it, but it was like a pale moon compared to the testament of Jesus Christ. It was like the moon compared to the sun when he came. Because he put blood on it. Amen. Somebody right now, I ain't going to ask you about your head. You just need to step out right now. Amen. Who is that? I'm just going to tell you a moment. Say, preacher, I need to know that the blood will cover what I did and the broken law. Hallelujah. Woo! Anybody? Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ah, don't matter what nobody says. I'd rather know the blood's on that mercy seat, and the mercy seat's covering that law, and I know that God is good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's all right. Amen. I love Carol. I'm glad. Praise God. Amen. I'm sure that there's others here. That's fine. But I know there's others as well. You need to know that the blood will cover that broken law. That thing, amen, those sins, those iniquities that separated us from our God, the blood will cover. Anybody else? Praise God. Hallelujah. I want us to gather in then. Just everybody, I feel the Holy Ghost here. I want you to gather in right now. Praise God. Ah, hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory. The blood of the spotless lamb. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The blood of the spotless lamb. Hallelujah. It'll cover the law. The law. Amen. Christ fulfilled the law in every state, form, and facet. In fact, the Bible said the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for redemption through the blood? Hallelujah. Through the blood, through the blood, through the blood. Through the blood of God's only Son. Hallelujah. Oh, but preacher, you just don't understand. I'm telling you, the blood covers the broken law. No matter how severe, no matter, amen, you say me just stealing a pencil is petty thievery. No, no. Brother, you're a thief. Hallelujah. Amen. Sin, as the pastor said, hallelujah, some sins have greater consequences, but sin is sin in the eyes of a holy God. Some sins have greater consequences. Make no mistake about it. There are degrees of hell. That's absolutely right. There's rewards in heaven, but some sins do have greater consequences. But when God sees sin, He sees sin. Ah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. The blood will cover the broken law. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, it will. Shikatayanarababayakatayanarababa. Glory to God, glory. Hallelujah, the blood. I'm telling you, the blood is all power. The blood has all power. The blood has all power. The blood has all authority. There is no sin bad enough. Hallelujah. Only the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, where the work of regeneration is accomplished through the person of the Holy Ghost. But sin outside of that blasphemy, it can be covered by the blood. Glory. He cut the other. Oh, yes. For all my righteousness, His filthy rags, and that's all I'll ever be but for the blood. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. 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 Mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Woohoo. Glory. Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Blood covers a broken law. But for the blood shed on Calvary's tree, but for the blood there'll be no hope for you and me. For all my righteousness, oh, the blood! Woo! Behold the blood! Hallelujah. Righteousness is filthy rags. That's all I'll ever be. But for the blood, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Ah, yes. His blood is holy. His blood is pure. Sacrifices were brought every year to be offered. But this man, when he offered up himself, sat down because the work was completed on Calvary. The blood covers the broken law. Righteousness is filthy rags, that's all I'd ever be. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. The blood of the spotless Lamb. The blood of the spotless Lamb of Calvary. Woo! He covers sin. Hallelujah. And He takes it away. For the blood shed on Calvary's tree. Blood of Jesus. That's all right. That's all right. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Shed on Calvary. I'm telling you, right, Pastor? There's no shame. The blood covers it. Woo! The blood covers it. Glory. Hallelujah. I said, the blood. Amen. I said, the blood. Woo! The blood. Hallelujah. God only knows where I'd have been. I'm telling you. God only knows where I'd have been. Praise God. God only knows where I would have been. Amen. The blood. You've heard Pastor Lamb's testimony. God only knows where he would have been. But the blood has the power to cover all sin. Glory to God.